Testing. Testing.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Here he is.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, a Wilder presentation broadcasting live. Live out of Chicago, Illinois, and if I sound a little bit out of breath, I am, because I was rushing, just like everybody else in the world probably, to get that Powerball, to play the lottery. You know, I mean, I'm hearing that it's $500 million, or is it billion? Whatever, $500 million. You know, I just had to get in on that. And it's a frenzy around here. I mean, it's a frenzy. I'm lucky that the place where I bought it, the Powerball, I'm lucky that there wasn't a long line, but there was a few people coming in and out, you know. So this is a frenzy. So, hey, wow. Hey, George Wilder Jr. also plays the lottery because he's broke. And people ask, what would you do with the money if you won? Oh, man, if I won... Oh, wow. First of all, you know, I'd buy a better car probably, or a car period, or a car at all. And I don't know. You can think of so many things you can do with the money. So many things you can do with the money. And so many people are dreaming. And as I've stated, and as I have, I'm a dreamer. So I would do a lot of, I'll put it this way. I would do, if I won the Powerball or any lottery, which I do play, if I won the Powerball, you know, I would do something positive with it. I would do something to help others, you know. I would do something to help others who deserve that help. You know, everybody doesn't deserve to be helped, but those who but those who are deserving, I would totally help. I mean, I would help, and I would have a millions left over from that, so it wouldn't hurt me, it wouldn't bother me. You know, I was kind of... I might be the type to try to help the world to better itself in some cases. Money talks. It really does. And there used to be a slogan called, money can't buy you love. That's a lie. Money can buy you love. Money's been buying love for years. Believe me. Believe me. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show Broadcasting. I had to, create this show. For today, I almost forgotten to create a show. I almost didn't come on the air today because I had forgotten. I've been so busy promoting and marketing my brand new publishing, my brand new published writings, books, essays, you know, e-books. I've been really, really busy being a parent, busy being the head of the household. Busy being a radio talk show host, busy being an author and a writer, and more. You know, I just totally forgotten about it. I said, damn, I got to create this show. I mean, it was minutes because I was running around, literally running around, trying to find a place to buy Powerball tickets. I know I could have bought them online, but I'm not too used to buying lottery tickets online yet. I'm still used to going to the small neighborhood store and picking them up, you know. So wish me luck. And also, if you bought a Powerball, And you, like me and like a lot of others, a million other people dreaming about what we can do with the money if we should win it, you know, I wish you all the best. But obviously, each and every one of us who bought a ticket is saying to ourselves, you know, I want to win, and I'm sorry if you do not win. That's the nature of the beast, right? So, and it was a mess. A few minutes before I came on the air, I was fighting to get on the air because I had not created a show yet. Because I am the producer, I am the writer. I do everything for the show. I do the clips, I do the audio, I do everything. So, without George Wilder Jr., there is no show. Period. I want my son to come in on it, but he doesn't seem as though he's that interested. But maybe he is. I don't know. But I have yet to see it. All right. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to take a break right now because I need a breather. I'll be right back. Stay with me, everybody. We are back. We are back on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I want to let everybody out there to know that today I don't have a guest on the show. So it's just me and you and whatever comes out of my mouth. Okay. All right. But I will have a guest in the following days because basically January 2016 is all booked up. I had two guests during the following couple of days, and they were great. They were wonderful. They were marvelous. And I just love having guests on the show. I really do. I really do. No matter what they're talking about, as long as it's something that you and I can learn from, hey, it's all well. All right, let's talk a little bit of politics, which is what this show is about. But anything goes on this show. Anything you want to talk about. But basically, I try to talk about, you know, what's in the news or politicians, because, you know, I'm a taxpayer, I'm a voter, things I don't like. I have a right to my own opinion and say what I think, even though, you know, other people may not think that way. But, you know, that's it is what it is, as they would say. Okay. I'm looking at Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. And they are just obsessed, if I can say the word. These guys, the Republicans in the House of Representatives in Washington, has just completed another vote to defund Planned Parenthood. How many times have these people wasted our money defunding Planned Parenthood or trying to defund health care? These Republicans. It's just a waste of time, a waste of money, and a waste of energy. To me, they just keep showing America that they hate America because they're rich and the rest of us are working to make a living. As I've said many times on this show, if you work for a living, the Republicans don't like you. They can't stand you. If you're middle class or you're poor, forget it, because you're not rich like they are. They hate the president. They hate his family that's in the White House. They hate everything about Obama. They can't stand it. And these people lie through their teeth. They spin. They stretch the truth. They make stuff up right in front of your face, right on camera. And they're wasting our taxpayer dollar in trying to defund Planned Parenthood, trying to defund a lot of these social services programs, including health care, which is not going to go anywhere because Obama is still in the White House. He is still the president. He's not going to sign any bill that is on his desk to defund these programs. So, you know, it's a waste of time for these guys to do this. And I'm praying that people get out, get excited, get pissed off, get mad, get upset, go to the polls in November 16 and throw these jackasses out of office. Or we're going to be in real, real trouble. And for people who vote against their own interests, I feel so sorry for you. You go out here and you vote for these Republicans because you think they're going to do something for you. They're not going to do anything for you. The Republicans are about the Republicans. They're not about you. They're not about me. They're about their party. They're about what they want, not what you want, not what I want. And the thing about it, we put their asses in office. But it's not about what we want. It's what they want. Get your friends, get everyone, family, everyone out to the polls. I don't give a damn about anyone's religion. You're in the United States. You're paying taxes, every kind of taxes. You are obligated to vote. These guys are mean, nasty. These guys are mean, nasty, vile, and just unfit for America. Unfit for the United States of America. They just do not like people, especially people who are poor, people who don't give to their campaigns. Because corporations are running America. I mean, corporations got all kind of lobbyists in Congress buying off politicians. You and I don't have lobbyists in Congress. Corporations do. And they're buying these Republicans, and they're buying these politicians up like grapes. They're buying them up. And it's awful that these guys, Democrats too, not, they're not all Republicans. You got some turncoat, backward-ass conservative Democrats. The 114th Congress will kick off the new year, 2016, today, Wednesday, by voting an eighth time to strip federal funds from Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest family planning provider, because its health services include abortion. As if abortion just got here. Abortion has been here since the beginning of time. It's not about abortion. They're not stripping Planned Parenthood of its funding because of abortion. They want to strip Planned Parenthood of its funding because they just don't like it, period. If they say it's about abortion or something that they think Planned Parenthood is doing that's wrong, that's a lie. The Republicans are stripping funding from this place for women, for family. It's because they don't like it. They don't want it. They think it stinks, regardless of what it does, regardless of the positive things that Planned Parenthood does, regardless of the lies that have come out about Planned Parenthood. They just do not like it. They don't want it. They want to strip it because they are Republicans. They're conservatives. Conservative means to conserve. All right, the House of Representatives is expected to pass a budget reconciliation bill that guts the Affordable Care Act after the health care. No, they're not all yours. Get one and leave the rest in there. All right. Now, I've just said they're going after health care. But it's a waste of time because the president, he's going to veto this thing, these things if they come across his desk, when they come across his desk. And this roughly pulls $450 million in federal assistance from Planned Parenthood and prevents Medicaid recipients from getting reimbursed for their visits at the Planned Parenthood clinics. This is awful. There's already a federal law preventing taxpayer dollars from being used toward abortions. Planned Parenthood patients have to pay for that service separately out of, have long despised the family planning provider for illogical reasons. I would like to say stupid reasons, absurd reasons, hateful reasons. That's the reason why they want to get rid of Planned Parenthood. That's the reason. No other reason. The Republican,
I come to the Senate floor today to ask my Republican colleagues a question. Do you have any idea what year it is? Did you fall down, hit your head, and think you woke up in the 1950s or the 1890s? Should we call for a doctor? Because I simply cannot believe that in the year 2015, the United States Senate would be spending its time trying to defund women's health care centers. You know, on second thought, maybe I shouldn't be that surprised. The Republicans have had a plan for years to strip away women's rights to make choices over our own bodies. Just look at the recent facts. In 2013, Republicans threatened to shut down the government unless they could change the law to let employers deny women access to birth control. In March of this year, Republicans held up a non-controversial bipartisan bill to stop human trafficking. Why? Because they demanded new anti-abortion restrictions to cover private funding meant to help the victims of human trafficking. In June, House Republicans passed a budget eliminating funding for the Title X Family Planning Program, the only federal grant program that provides birth control, HIV tests, STD screening, and other preventive services for poor and uninsured people. Over the past few years, Republicans have voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act more than 50 times, including the portions that require insurers to cover contraception. And let's be clear, it's not just Congress. Over the past 5 years, Republican state legislators have passed nearly 300 new restrictions on abortion access. This year alone, Republican state legislators have passed more than 50 new restrictions on women's access to legal health care. So, Mr. President, Madam President, let's be really clear about something. The Republican scheme to defund Planned Parenthood is not some sort of surprised response to a highly edited video. Nope, the Republican vote to defund Planned Parenthood is just one more piece of a deliberate, methodical, orchestrated right-wing attack on women's rights. And I'm sick and tired of it. Women everywhere are sick and tired of it. The American people are sick and tired of it. I come to the Senate floor today to ask my...
All right, that's Elizabeth Warren's take on defunding of Planned Parenthood, and that clip was from last year, but it's still viable today and stands up today because they're still trying to defund Planned Parenthood and health care. I'm not a fan of health care, of Obamacare. I'm not a fan of it all. There's some tweaks that I think that it needs. But to try to defund something or try to stop something from that's good, that Americans love, to end that is ridiculous. And it's pointless. It's totally pointless because it's not going to get anywhere. Obama is not going to sign those things into law. He's going to veto it. He's even told them several times that they're wasting their time, but they still waste our tax money coming up with a vote to try to defund these two important facilities. These clinics around the country. It's a damn shame. The Republicans, we have to vote, people. You got to get out there and vote. If you ever gone to a Planned Parenthood clinic, if you are a recipient of Obamacare, You want to keep those things? You better get your ass out there and vote. Vote. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, and we're talking about things in the news, and we're also talking about the Powerball. Yeah, I mean, 347-857-1762. What would you do with that money if you won? All right, moving right along, trooper who arrested Sandra Bland indicted for lying in police report. That's nothing new. Police has been lying on those police reports, those incidents reports, for years. And the thing about it, not just the Chicago Police Department, but the police department around the country, I mean, these departments, these superintendents, they've been knowing that. It's just been a long cover-up for these people. It's been a long cover-up. And now things are coming to roost. The chickens are coming home to roost. A Texas state trooper was charged with perjury. Perjury means lying. On Wednesday, in connection to the contentious traffic stop. It was contentious. And my thing is, it was contentious and it was totally unwarranted. So I blame her death on that traffic stop and on that cop, that trooper, or whatever he was, state trooper. I blame it on him, because if he hadn't stopped her, which he didn't have a really reason to stop her, he stopped her because she was what? She was black. That's why he stopped her. A grand jury indicted trooper Brian Essena on the misdemeanor count, alleging he lied about how he removed the 28-year-old Bland from her vehicle during the July stop. The same Walter County grand jury decided last month not to indict any sheriff's officials or jailers in Bland's death, which was ruled a homicide. My thing is, if he had not stopped her because she was black, she'd have still been alive. So I support her family's lawsuit against this police department. I didn't know Sandra Bland. I don't really know her, but from the things I've read and from the things I've seen, she seemed like she was a very, very wonderful person, from my estimation, you know. 347-857-1762, George Wilder Jr. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Amazon. I'm all over the place. Google, you follow me. Follow me. I love your feedback. I love that you tell me what you tell me about the show, if it could be better, and how are you doing in 2016. I know I'm doing great. I just played the Powerball. $500 million. Do we win? We got to find out tonight. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people are playing it. So maybe we'll win something. Who knows? Maybe we'll win nothing. But anyway, it's just fun to be a part of the joy and all of that, be a part of the crowd that's trying to win some money, some kind of way. Anyway, this is George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr. Show. Here's Teddy Kennedy. He's also ripping into the Republicans.
How much time do I have?
24 minutes, Senator.
I ask the chair to let me know when there's 5 minutes left.
The chair will do so.
Mr. President, it is now 5:10 on the fifth day that the Senate has been considering raising the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 over a two-year period. We have not, as we have heard in the course of this debate, raised it in the last 10 years. This is just going to restore the purchasing power of those that are on the lower rung of the economic ladder. What it was really 10 years ago. Won't even give them an increase. Won't even give them a benefit. Just restore the purchasing power. 5 days we've been debating. Rather simple concept that everyone in this institution knows and has voted on a number of times, whether it's over here in the Senate or in the House of Representatives. For 10 years, Republican leadership has refused to let us get a vote on increasing the minimum wage. Let's have no mistake about it, Mr. President. 10 years, the Republican leadership has basically refused to let us get it, even though a majority of the members in this body, a handful of those Republican members, have favored an increase in the minimum wage, but we have been unable to get to the sufficient to break the effective filibuster and deny us the opportunity to vote. These individuals that have been receiving the minimum wage, and their families, and their allies, and their supporters, and the workers of this country, the trade union movement, the AFL-CIO, the church groups, those that represent the great face of this country, and others, particularly Democrats and some conscientious Republicans, have said this is wrong, and we will try and do something about it. And they have, over the period of time, raised on initiatives in a number of states, in six different states where this issue was on the ballot. They indicated that they wanted the increase in the minimum wage. States have raised the minimum wage. But we have still not had this institution, the United States Senate, go on record to say to working families in this country that they ought to get a raise. $240 billion in tax breaks for corporations, $36 billion in tax breaks for small businesses, increase in productivity, 42% over the last 10 years. But do you think there's any increase in the minimum wage? No. 5 days on the floor of the United States Senate, we've considered immigration issues, as we have now. We've considered Social Security issues. We have considered health issues. We are considering education issues. We're considering additional kinds of tax breaks for wealthy corporations. But do we hear from the other side a willingness, as this side is at this moment, at 12 after 5 today on Thursday? I speak for all of our Democrats and say, we're prepared to vote now. Now. 10 minutes, 15 minutes on this issue. But no, as we have been for the last 5 days, no, we've got other amendments, Senator. We've got other amendments. We've got other amendments to offer. We have now had amendments that have been worth over $200 billion. Amendments that have been offered. We've had amendments on education of $35 billion. We've had health savings amendments that will benefit average for income of $112,000, $8 billion. We've had those kinds of amendments. And we're looking at the Kyle Amendment at $3 billion. But we still cannot get a $2.15 over 2 years. Over 2 years. What is the price? We ask the other side. What is the price that you want from these working men and women? What cost? How much more do we have to give to the private sector and to business? How many billion dollars more are you asking? Are you requiring? When does the greed stop? We ask the other side. That's the question, and that's the issue, Mr. President. Make no mistake about it. They have, on the Republican side, 70 more amendments. 74, 70 more amendments. We have none. We're prepared to vote now. 70 more amendments. Oh, yes, oh, we want increase in the minimum wage. We want this, we want that. But silence over there, or let's have some other kinds of amendments that have virtually nothing to do with this. Do you have such disdain for hardworking Americans that you want to pile all your amendments on this? Why don't you just hold your amendments till other pieces of legislation? Why this volume of amendments on just the issue to try and raise the minimum wage? What is it about it that drives you Republicans crazy? What is it? Something. They're going to require us to go in to have a cloture vote next week. I can see it already. Amendments have already been filed that are going to be related in case we do get cloture to delay this even further. What is the price that the workers have to pay to get an increase? What is it about working men and women that you find so offensive that you won't permit even a vote, denying the Senate of the United States the opportunity to express ourselves? We don't want to hear any more from that side for the rest of this session about permitting and not permitting votes in here when you're denying on the most simple concept, an increase in the minimum wage. We don't want to hear any more about that. This is filibuster by delay and amendments. I've been around here long enough to know it when I see it and smell it. And that's what it looks like. That's what it is. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it.
All right. Okay. I love listening to that clip. It was a few years back, but it stands up today just like the Warren clip when you're talking about these Republicans. I mean, Ted Kennedy tore into them, tore into the Republicans. I don't think it changed anybody's mind back then, just like it's not changing their minds now. These guys are just steadfast in their hate for America. I'm going to say it. You know, I'm also going to say what I've been saying for a long time. You got to get out there and vote. You got to get out there and do something. You want to change the country? Do something. You're not helpless. We're not helpless to let these guys in office that we put their asses in office that are being paid with our taxpayer money, and they are also abusing it. We're not helpless. We can throw their asses out. There's recall on the books. You know, we have to wait, and we are not helpless. We can do something. Vote. Please vote. Vote, 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 vote.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, the other day, Obama was on television telling us about how he was going to implement changes to guns using his executive authority. And a lot of people are saying, why didn't you do that long ago? I'm one of those people. Why didn't you do that long ago? Why didn't you do something long ago? You're 7 years into office and you haven't done anything so far on gun control. I think he's a little late on this. There are several times when Obama, during the Obama years, there's several times I've heard Obama's talking about using his executive authority. During those times, it was just talk. And a lot of people are criticizing him for not coming to Chicago and talking to these thugs out here, going to the South Side and try to curtail some of this violence that's happening each and every day and night. This is supposed to be his hometown, President of the United States. And my understanding, like I said on the show yesterday, I think his executive authority on gun control is weakened somewhat, because he has all these lawsuits that the renegade Republicans are going to shove up his butt. So this executive action on gun control now, I think, is a little bit too late, and it's a little bit of nothing. But it's better than nothing, you know. A little bit that he's trying to do to save lives is good. Is good, you know, but the Republicans, you know, that they are steadfast in their hate. I mean, they just don't want any kind of gun control. They're bought off by the NRA, which in my opinion, the NRA is nothing but a terrorist organization. It doesn't matter how much people kill. It doesn't matter the mass shootings. It doesn't matter the school shootings, the church shootings, the mall shootings, the train shootings. People are shooting up America all over the place and each and every day and night, not just in Chicago, but America, the United States of violence. And yet the Republicans don't want to do anything because they're too damn, they're too much bought off by the NRA. They're scared. They are scared the hell of the NRA, the National Rifle Association. So Obama's executive powers, I'm all for it. I hope he does something. I hope he do something. And like I said, I'm not advocating taking away anybody's guns. The Republicans always bring up that weak-ass excuse for to do nothing on gun control. Why are you going to take our guns? Nobody's going to take your fucking guns. Do something to keep the guns out of the hands of the criminals. Do something to keep the guns out of the hands of those. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to do anything. And I'm going to say this. I do think Obama has been weak on some issues during his presidency. There's no doubt about it. Weak. And there's some issues that were pressing that he did nothing whatsoever. And there's people out here saying Obama is a great president. He's the greatest president we've ever had. I think he's been an okay president, but I do think we could have a president that could be a lot better. People-oriented. I think people-oriented. I know all about his issues. I know all about some of the things he's done, some of the things he hasn't done that piss people off. Some people don't like Obama just because he's black. Racism. Some people don't like him because he's a Democrat. Some people don't like him because they feel he's weak. Some people are criticizing him because he shed a tear for those kids who were murdered at Sandy Hook and Newtown, in Newtown, Connecticut. Some people said he's the president of the United States. He shouldn't be crying on camera. But he wasn't just crying on camera. He was crying for those kids, those kindergarten, preschoolers, second and third graders who were murdered, slaughtered at Sandy Hook. I think on the day that I found this out, I think I was a little bit emotional too. And my supervisor at the time, she looked at me as if she was very surprised to see me get emotional at something like that, at little children being gunned down and slaughtered while they were at their school. Okay, George. All right. Okay. You know, I can see you getting emotional over that. My thing here is that Obama is the president of the United States. He's got to show leadership. He's got to be strong. He cannot be wimping and crying. I know there's going to be a lot of people who are going to criticize me on that. And I've heard a lot of people saying, well, he's only human. He's only human. Yeah, but he's also the president of the United States. He has to set an example. But I can understand it. I really can. But I myself didn't like to see that either. You know, I didn't like to see that. I mean, you can criticize me. You can say, well, George, you're off base. That's not right. He's human. He was showing human emotions over a horrific incident. Hey, I understand it. But he's also the president of the United States. And when he shed a tear, what did the Republicans do on Fox News? They made fun of him. They mocked him. You know, some commentator on Fox News said he wasn't crying real tears and that he had a slice of onion down there somewhere below the podium that was making him shed tears. That was totally ridiculous. Onion making him cry. A slice. I don't know where Fox get these bimbos, these crazy, these young, pretty little girls, but they don't have a brain in their brain. They don't have a brain in their head. But yet they're on television trying to influence me and you over something that they're saying, and they don't know squat. Now, that was totally ridiculous. The man was shedding a tear, and Fox News was saying that he was crying. A tear was falling out of his eyes because he had an onion or something, a split. It's just so ridiculous. I can't even say it. I don't even want to say it. It was stupid. It was dumb. It was ignorant. That's Fox News. And you wonder, how in the hell do these people get these ratings, that the high ratings that they do? Sprouting this nonsense. Sometimes I have to come to Obama's offense. Sometimes I have to come to Obama's defense also. Especially when people are saying things about him that you know and I know are lies. One of the things I do know, Obama will not come, he will not counteract a lie. If someone's lying on him, he won't say anything. He'll be quiet. I said yesterday on the show, if someone was treating me the way they were treating Obama, it would be on. It would be all in the media. We'd be fighting all in the media. Because you talk about my wife, I'm going to come at you. You talk about my person, I'm going to come at you. You lie on me, I'm coming at you. But Obama, he just takes the high ground and takes it. And a lot of these lies that the Republicans throw at Obama, he doesn't rebut them. He doesn't answer to them. He doesn't tell them they're lying. A lot of this, the negative stuff that they throw at him, the mud, it's going to stick if he doesn't, you know, counteract that stuff. If he doesn't deflect it, it's going to stick. And this is how the Republicans win. I've heard John McCain, the senator, John McCain, call Obama a coward. This was years ago. I heard him call Obama a coward. And I heard some of the other Republicans years ago express in so many ways that Obama was a coward. In other words, they were. There's no doubt about it. The Republicans have totally disrespected Obama. They've totally obstructed his moves. They have talked about him like dirt. They have talked about his family like dirt. And Obama has, at least in front of the cameras, he has stayed classy. This is his last year in office. In November, you know, there's going to be someone else voted into office, a president-elect. And January of 2017, Obama will no longer be president after the 22nd. We will have a new president. Hopefully it will not be Donald Trump. Don't let it be Donald Trump. You know, it can be Hillary Clinton. It can be Bernie Sanders. Speaking of Bernie Sanders, the presidential candidate on the Democratic side of the aisle who's running for president of the United States for 2016. This guy is getting snubbed. The media, I think I've addressed this yesterday. The media is snubbing Bernie Sanders. He's not getting the media time that Donald Trump is getting. He's not getting the media time that Hillary Clinton is getting. But his crowds are sometimes bigger than their crowds. The media may give 21 hours to Donald Trump and give a few seconds to Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders' crowds are a lot bigger. How is that? And the DMC, Debbie Wasserman's show, she should be fired. She should be totally fired. She's setting up and having debates on nights where nobody's watching them, like on Saturday. And then she only let there be a few debates, six debates, while the Republicans are having, what, 9 or 10? That's no competition. From what I'm hearing, the reason why she's doing all of this, so to give Bernie Sanders less exposure. Because she feels that Hillary Clinton is a shoo-in to be president of the United States in 2016, January 2017. She should be fired. She totally should be fired. I think she's playing a dangerous game. I don't know how she got to be the head of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. I don't know how she got to be head of it, the leader, because she's doing an awful job, a terrible job. She's a young woman. She's probably trying to look pretty and prance for the cameras, but in her job, she's not doing a good job. She's not qualified for that job, because I think she's bringing the Democrats down instead of making that committee better by scheduling debates to be on Saturday, where people are not watching. On Saturday, I mean, you're going out to the movies, you're having dinner. You're not going to sit around and watch a two-hour debate. The debate should always be on a Tuesday evening. And it should be on every channel, over-the-air television, not just cable television, so everybody can watch. Of course, the Republicans' debates were higher ratings than the Democratic debates, because the Republicans – and the thing about the Republicans, I've said this before, they talk about nothing. They don't talk about the issues. They don't talk about what's confronting America. Donald Trump, even now, he doesn't talk about the issues fronting Americans. He'll talk about immigrants and deporting people and Muslims, but he doesn't talk about, as a Republican, he doesn't talk about gun control, the middle class. I mean, all of these issues facing America, infrastructure, the economy, nothing. They talk about each other. They demonize each other. Donald Trump is now demonizing Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz is on his heels. But nothing for America. Donald Trump is drawing large crowds. Crowds of people who are hateful. People who are racist. People who are racist like he is. Who claims he's not. But you can't prove that by some of the things he's said. You can't say that by some of the things that have come out of his mouth. I think Donald Trump is taking the presidency down. He's not an intelligent man. He's not a bright man. You can tell he's not a statesman. He just talks like a thug off the streets. You know, he talks like somebody who just came off the street corner from drinking a can of beer or something, you know? He doesn't sound like a politician. And if this guy should get in office, if he should make it in office some kind of way, he's going to be a different kind of a president. One that will not be good for America. I mean, when I first voted for Barack Obama, I think back in 2008, I just knew this guy was going to be a different kind of a president. I thought he was going to bring fresh air to the presidency. I thought he was going to do different things. I thought he was going to straighten this country out and put it back on track. I don't know. Since Obama's been president, we've had more hatred. We've had more, and this is true, we've had more hatred. We've had more shootings, killings, bombing, terrorism, Congress, the haters and the racists are coming out of hiding. They're not hiding anymore. They're right in front of your face telling you that you are scum, or you're stupid, you're dumb. They're right out there. They're not hiding anymore. So since Obama's been president, a lot of black people feel that their lives are even worse off than when he first began. And gun violence is just out of the box. It's just totally out of the box. Okay, I have a clip here I'm going to play on gun violence. You sit back and listen. All right.
It's the second weekend in July, and the trauma unit at Advocate Christ Medical Center on the outskirts of Chicago is bracing itself for the worst.
Christ, identify.
Hi, this is San Francisco.
In Chicago, trauma tends to get busier in the summer months. We've had a stretch of some warm weather.
In what proved to be bloody days in the city, 82 people were shot in Chicago on the July 4th weekend, 16 of them fatally.
possibly our busiest weekend ever.
And more than two dozen of those victims were brought here to Advocate Christ, which served the city's south side.
A lot of gunshot wounds and a decent number of fatalities as well.
A week later, the pace on a Friday night is slower, but soon after 11 p.m., a call comes in. Ambulances with two gunshot victims are on their way from the city's Roseland neighborhood. The first of the victims arrives, a male with a bullet wound through his shoulder.
The gentleman came in with a gunshot wound, but it was just to the right shoulder, and there's no significant injury.
The medical team treats the wound, but soon rushes to prepare for the second victim, who did not fare as well.
George, can you help me here or there?
He's got a gunshot wound to the right chest.
I'm going to get another IV.
Most of the victims are younger patients. They're usually male, who are of lower socioeconomic status.
You got an 18 gauge.
And it represents the neighborhoods where the violence is taking place.
Chest tube on the right.
This 26-year-old man has internal bleeding that is making it hard to breathe.
He'd gotten shot in the chest.
What's your name? Tell me your name.
And he had diminished breath sounds on the right side of his chest.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
You know, 90% of homicide victims are men.
No more.
95% of perpetrators are men. And that is even more skewed in Chicago. And it vastly discriminates against people of color, particularly African Americans and Latinos.
It's caused a contusion of the lung, which is a bruising of the lung. There's also some blood in the chest.
So move your eyelids.
A surgeon prepares to place a tube in the man's chest to drain the blood.
It is a sort of a basic resuscitation maneuver in terms of patients who have penetrating chest trauma. Place the tube in the chest cavity to drain the blood or to drain the air that's collected around the lung. One of the few times that a fairly simple bedside procedure can actually save a patient's life.
These life-saving maneuvers happen nightly in emergency rooms across the country as gun violence haunts America's cities.
In the last 30 years, about 1 million people have died from guns, and that's homicide, suicide, domestic violence, and accidents.
More than 30,000 people die from guns every year in the United States. Chicago is plagued by a gun homicide rate much higher than New York or Los Angeles, which have shown sizable decreases in gun deaths. Still, homicides from guns are half of what they were here more than a decade ago.
The decrease in homicides in the United States has been, in many areas, a tremendous public health victory. So Los Angeles, or let's say New York City, in the early 90s, 2,000 homicides per year.
Last year, homicides in New York were down to 355.
And while there has been a decrease in Chicago, it has not at all been as dramatic.
In some ways, it's getting better, but I think that there are neighborhoods and communities and generations of people that are not getting the kind of positive supports that are necessary to really turn the tide.
New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago basically have about the same murder rate for murder by other than gunshot. So that's fascinating if you think about it. Of course, everybody wants to know what's different about Chicago. First thing I said when I got here, too many guns, the proliferation of firearms.
In the past, most of our penetrating trauma was coming from the south side of the city of Chicago and some of the more violent neighborhoods, but now we're actually seeing quite a few coming in from the suburbs.
Though gun deaths are lower in the city so far this year, as they are nationwide, police figures show shootings are up. Chief of Trauma Surgery, Dr. James Daugherty, says he's noticing a disturbing trend.
We're seeing more patients who have multiple gunshot wounds, and I think what we're seeing is that the severity of the injuries that we're seeing are much worse. Are they all gang-related? The answer to that is no. Not all the cases are gang-related. Many of the patients we treat, in fact, the majority, are innocent victims. They just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
One of those innocent victims got the attention of the city in mid-July. 11-year-old Shamaya Adams was at a sleepover at a friend's house when a stray bullet came through the window. It struck her in the head, and she died the following morning.
Say amen, everybody.
A day later, Shamaya's family joined other supporters and activists for a vigil in her West Side neighborhood.
Everybody just say with me, God bless,
God bless.
Shamaya's family.
God bless,
Shamaya's family.
God bless,
Shamaya's family. Bow your heads, everybody.
They mourn and call for justice and an end to senseless acts like her killing.
I'm tired of the words. I want to see action. I want to see the guns being put down.
An 18-year-old who ended up shooting at some rival gang members who were 14 and missed them and hit an 11-year-old in a residence and killed her. And the initial confrontation was between two groups of 14-year-olds who had a fist fight. So you take a fist fight and you introduce a firearm into it, and now you've got a murder.
Also, if you know something, I know someone that knows something. Please call. Please call.
Local groups collected more.
After decades of ignoring or delaying financial obligations like pension funds, this is what it's come to ensure.
All right, we are back. We are back. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's beautiful outside. I didn't mention anything about the weather. It's great outside. I think the weather is nice. I was out earlier getting those lottery tickets, and I was surprised how nice it was. I thought it was freezing, but it will be. The weather people said it's going to get cold, George. It really is. I think it's about, 35 degrees out there, that's not bad. I mean, for winter, that's not bad at all, especially when you're in the lake, because it's always cooler, as they say, near the lake. All right, Carly Fiorina, she's back to her old tricks again. She's saying something dumb, but she's accusing Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, and Obama, the president of the United States, and blaming them for police shootings. Now, that's not as if they took the guns and shot these people themselves. That's not true. All right, it says here, Republican presidential candidate Carly Fiorina called out President Obama and the Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton Wednesday for failing to press for Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel resignation in light. Oh, that's crazy. Obama is not going to ask for Rahm Emanuel's resignation. They're buddies. I'm pretty sure they're talking in private. They're buddies. I mean, Obama is the reason why Rahm Emanuel is in Chicago. He's the reason why Rahm Emanuel is the mayor of Chicago. Barack Obama is going to stay out of this. He's going to let Rahm Emanuel solve this for himself. He's not going to say anything against Rahm Emanuel. He's not going to say anything for Rahm Emanuel. That's one of the things a lot of us do not like about Barack Obama. Obvious that Mayor Emanuel is hiding something. It's obvious that he's covering up something in the Laquan McDonald shootings 16 times. It's obvious. He didn't want a federal probe of this in Chicago. Now he doesn't want a federal probe of his law, of the law department in Chicago. Even when the feds found out that a top lawyer in his administration lied. And we're all saying, hey, wow, probe everything. Rahm saying, no, don't. What is he hiding? Why does he want these probes to go on, these investigations to go on? Because he's hiding something. Yeah, he suppressed that video in order to win re-election. He suppressed it. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And now Fiorina is saying that Obama should have, you know, said something about resignation to Rahm Emanuel. Obama's not going to do that. Obama don't have the fortitude to do things like that. And I'm quoting her here. Just imagine for one moment if the mayor of Chicago were not President Obama's personal friend, Farina said of Obama's former chief of staff during an interview with radio host Hugh Hewitt. Just imagine for a moment if this were a Republican, what President Obama would be saying and doing. You know, I disagree with her. I think if Rahm Emanuel had not been a Democrat and had been a Republican, I think Obama would have been even more quieter on this matter. I really do. So now she's wrong at that. But she's way down there in the polls, and she's not coming up. It doesn't matter what she says or how many times she gets her face on television and on YouTube. The American people do not want her in the White House. But she's gearing herself up for book sales, writing books, book sales, and gearing herself up for speeches where she can set her own fees, you know. So that's what the Republicans basically are doing, who know they're not going to win office. They haven't a chance. And this lady, Carly Fiorina, having a chance. I think what killed Fiorina was when her constantly lying about Planned Parenthood. She told some whoppers. and the thing about it, the American people caught on to her. The American people found out that this lady was totally lying, didn't know what she was talking about, making stuff up as her mouth moved. And she has not recovered from this yet. She has not recovered. So the best thing she can do is probably get a name for herself where she can write and sell books, you know, travel around the country, setting fees to sprout those lies. That's about the best thing she can do. We all know her name because she's such a pathetic person. I mean, when you say dumb things and you're in the public eye, we know who you are and we know what you're about. That's why she's never, ever recovered from single digits in the polls. Will she be on the stage with the Republicans at the next debate? I don't know. I don't have a clue. But it doesn't matter to me because I'm not going to vote for a Republican at all, period. You know, all of these guys are loonies, if you ask me. All right, this is George Waters Jr. of the George Waters Jr. Show, 704, 35 degrees outside. And we're talking about anything goes. We're talking about the Powerball. I'm still thinking, hey, you got your tickets? I got mine. I got mine. And I could probably say that, you know, I think it's about time for me to win. I've been playing lottery just about all my life. I want a few bucks here and there, but nothing big, nothing huge. It's time for something huge. Don't you think it's time for something huge? Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I do too. It's time for something big. But you got to remember, I'm not the only one playing. It's a million other people out there playing this Powerball. So, you know, so we'll see what happens later on tonight. Later on tonight. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's $500 million. Jesus Christ, if I just had $1 million, I'd be fine. All right. Who knows? Maybe that'll come. Maybe that'll come. All right.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all righty, all righty. Fiorina, Fiorina. Let's see what we got here. We've been talking about that Powerball. I'm still thinking about it. I'm still thinking about it. All right, Hewitt then reminded Fiorina that Clinton also has been silent, asking if the former if the former Secretary of State should call for Emanuel's resignation. I don't think she's going to call for his resignation either. Yes, because wouldn't that be consistent with the rhetoric they usually do when these tragedies occur? I don't know why I'm constantly reading something on Carly Fiorina. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. And we have to kind of move on. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Look me up on Blog Talk Radio right here. Follow me right here on the radio. And Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, I just said that. LinkedIn, I'm on Amazon.com. Check out some of my new material that I've got up on Amazon.com. I have a book up there called Jesus Christ, Son of Man Returns. That's going to be free for the next couple of days. If you're listening to the show, you're listening live. Go to Amazon.com and download that book. It's totally free. And it's good. It's a great book. It's a great book. Not that many pages. I think it's 72 pages or something like that. And it's great. I had fun writing it. Check it out. It's totally entertaining. It's called Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Return. And I got a lot of other stuff up there, too. So check that out. Okay. And let's move right along. People fighting gun control. I mean, it's so many people out there fighting gun control. It's a damn shame. Why would you fight common sense gun controls? Why would you want to see guns kept out of the hands of those who would do us harm? I don't understand that. Why would you want to see carnage? And when I'm talking about people fighting gun control, I'm basically talking about the NRA, the National Rifle Association, 347-857-1762. I don't understand. And you've got a lot of people. Have anybody seen that clip of those folks in Oregon fighting for their land or something, saying the United States is taking their land, and they walking around with guns draped over the shoulder, open and carry guns? And wow, that is something. America is becoming the Wild West, literally the Wild West. I mean, you got people walking and they're fighting mad and pissed off if you try to tell them not they can't carry their guns openly out in public. And some of these people have permits to do that. Crazy. Wow. America is just not America. I mean, America is becoming disappointing almost every day. Disappointing. People fighting sensible gun legislation. People fighting to keep guns in the hands of the mentally ill. That's nutty. That's crazy. People fighting to keep, I just don't know, people fighting not to have background checks to keep them away from people who will do us harm. People fighting tooth and nail for that. And we are not advocating to anyone anywhere to take your gun. I own a gun. I'm a gun owner. And I'm saying we need sensible gun legislation to keep the guns out of the hands of the bad guys. Killing up our children, the babies. They're walking in the churches with these guns. A lot of these guys should not have guns. Just think about all the bad guys out here that have guns and got their guns through straw purchases. That means that a law-abiding person with all the credentials walks into a gun shop, buys five guns, and after the guns are purchased, he gives them away to gangbangers. And people are just fighting common sense gun laws. And as I've said a million times, when you're walking down the street in a crowd of people, you don't know who has a gun, legal or illegally. You do not know who's carrying a gun. Americans are afraid. And who has made Americans afraid? Republicans scaring the hell out of you. The terrorists coming. They're going to be knocking on your door. You better get a gun. And people are going out buying guns up left and right. You can even buy guns over the internet. Now, that's wrong. Without a background check, that's wrong. That's wrong. Without even a FOID card. That's wrong. You should at least be checked out to make sure you haven't got a felony on your record. Even a misdemeanor, if it's involving a gun. Wow. And people are fighting tooth and nail to keep their guns. It's not like Obama is trying to take away a gun. It's like he's trying to keep the guns out of the wrong hands, and I'm all for that. Because you, I, them, they, you never know who is going to be a victim from a gunshot. Thug who somehow received that particular gun illegally. He's not supposed to have it. He's unqualified. But he has the gun anyway. And then he goes out and shoot up a lot of people. Drive-by shootings. That's what we have in Chicago, drive-by shootings. Assholes just drive up in the car and just start plucking down people that's standing on the corner. It's ridiculous. But you know what? No matter how much gun legislation or executive power or executive authority that Obama used, no matter how much executive power or authority that he used, the bad guys are still going to get the guns. The bad guys have the guns. The bad guys are already here with the guns. That's going to do nothing. That's why a lot of people are saying that his executive actions will do little or nothing. And I agree with them. I totally agree with them. Because every time Obama says something about executive action, people start loading up on bullets. People going to that gun store and purchasing guns because they feel Obama's coming after their guns, and that's not true. But that's what Fox News is telling everybody, and they're eating it up. Totally not true. Nobody's coming after your guns. We're just trying to keep the guns out of the hands of the bad guys. And I've had people call this show, well, everybody should have a gun. That's ridiculous. Please don't call my show saying everybody should have a gun. If everybody had a gun, then we wouldn't have all this violence. That's ridiculous. If everybody had a gun, you know, it would be mayhem out in the streets. Mayhem. Even if you mentally ill, you never know when a person's going to snap. Oh, he was a nice guy. It didn't seem like he was nuts or crazy. Anybody could snap at any minute. Somebody get pissed off at somebody. Somebody get fired from their job. Go back and shoot the hell out of their supervisor or the person who fired them. We have to have common sense gun legislation. And the Republicans don't want that. They don't want that. You better not talk about checking nobody's background before they get a gun. Or stopping internet purchases of guns. Someone's background. You better not say anything like that. You know, because of the NRA. Them some vicious son of a gun, the NRA. They're a powerful lobby. Believe me, they are powerful. Even the Democrats are bought off. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We're going to take a break right now. We will be right back. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Block Talk Radio. I'm all over the place. LinkedIn, I'm on Amazon.com. Check out some of that stuff up there. All right.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Yeah, this is the talk of our times. I mean, the talk of our times means we can talk about anything we want to talk about within reason, within reasons. Okay, Chicago public schools are closing. Catholic schools are closing. I think I know one reason to why Catholic schools are closing. Of course, low enrollment, of course. But I think it has to do something with the economy. A lot of people aren't making the money that they used to make. A lot of people have gotten laid off, and they can't afford to send their kids to Catholic schools anymore. So if they can't send their kids to Catholic schools, obviously they're going to vie for public schools. And I know the public schools in the city of Chicago are just awful. And it's not the kids that are making public schools in the city of Chicago awful. It's the politicians. Their mismanagement. It's the corruption within the school system that's screwing up the schools. It's not the children. You've got teachers who are raping students. It's not the children. You got corrupt people on the school board. It's not the children. It's the adults that are screwing things up for these public schools. It is not the children. It's sad to hear that Catholic schools are closing. They're closing all over the place. Low enrollment. Low enrollment. And I believe that it's, what can I say? I believe that is economical. I think parents just don't have the money to send their kids. You have to, because of Catholic schools, these are private schools. You have to pay to have your kids go to a private school. In some ways, you're paying for public schools too, out of your pocket. Some ways you're paying for it. Public schools are supposed to be free. They're supposed to be free. But check out how many times that public school is going to send a note home asking for money of some sort. Whatever money that they're short of, public schools, they're going to try to pry it out of the parents. So that's a sad thing. And we do have in Chicago a massive teacher strike looming. I've heard January dates. I've heard February dates. I've heard March dates. And Bruce Rauner just got through saying on television that he wasn't going to give Chicago nothing. The Chicago schools, he wasn't going to give them nothing unless they let him bust unions. So he's saying to Mayor Rahm Emanuel, you want me to do something for you? Then you're going to do something for me. You don't do nothing for me. I don't do anything from you. So with that bickering going on, the children are left in the middle. The children are left out. These assholes don't care anything about education. They don't care anything about children. Like I just said, it's politics. It's nothing but politics that are screwing up the school system, politics screwing up the city. It's politics messing over the state. Not the children. Not the working people. Not the poor. It's those politicians that we elect to office to represent us who are not representing us in a fair way. They're representing themselves. They're screwing up time. And this is totally, totally unfair. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. All righty, let's see what we can find here. Yep. Take one.
Great.
We're back. I'm rushing to get back, right? Okay. No. I just had someone just inboxed me and asked me if my books are in paperback or hardback. No. None of my books are in paperback or hardback. I have to look into that. They're all ebooks. And preferably, I prefer ebooks than I do paperbacks and hardbacks, because I don't really, I don't know, maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should look into it further. But one of the reasons why I chose ebooks, because I thought they was a little easier to publish. I'm self-published. I do this stuff myself. And I just do not want the horror of my books sitting all, my published books, the ones that I've written, sitting all around the house, all in the suitcase, all in the closet, you know. So I understand people saying paperback, or they want to know if it's at Barnes & Noble and paperback. No, my books are not in paperback. Well, that's something I'm going to look into. But I'd like to thank everybody who has downloaded the book and who has said so many nice things about the book. And it was a labor of love. I enjoyed writing it. The book that I'm specifically talking about is Jesus Christ, Son of Man Returns. I've gotten a lot of downloads on it, and a lot of people are praising it, saying it's riveting. And I'm scared. I'm scared as hell. I'm scared somebody's going to say, no, I hate it. I can't stand it. But it's a good book. It's a great book. And I'm just about off the air. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it tomorrow. But I want to say, a real heartfelt thanks to those people who have downloaded the book. And some people are probably still reading it. Some people have downloaded it and haven't started reading it yet. But I do want people to read it and then give me a review of the book. I need a review. Okay. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. And don't forget, I have short stories, essays, and everything else. You read that stuff. Most of it's pretty good. Just give me a review on it. I mean, give me what you think. Give me some feedback on it. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Please join me tomorrow, people. Goodbye, and thank you so much.